Well, praise the Lord. Good to see you today. Everybody happy? Yes. Well, you can't be sad for being glad. Did you notice we had a new singer today? Yes. I had difficulty seeing her behind the mic, but anyway, she was there. She did a good job. Praise the Lord. Cassandra, 20 years old. I can hardly remember what it was like when I was 20. But, you know, one of the things that I've observed over the years, you know, as you add years to your life and head toward what God has planned for you, remembering that he said in Genesis we could have 120, as you grow, it's always opportunity, you know, to learn a little more. Every year, as you tuck another year under your belt, so to speak, you get opportunity to learn something new. And I think it's important that we do that, because a lot of people, as they get older, they just don't learn anything. They think, well, you know, I've turned 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever it is, and I don't need to learn anymore. I can think of people, you know, without too much difficulty that I know. And they're getting on 70 and 80 now, my age bracket, and they're not wanting to learn anymore. They're not interested in learning. I've made it a policy that I, over the years, I've tried to learn something new every day. It may only be a new word. I do 3 crosswords a day, and Janine was in with us this week, and there was a clue, and I read it, I looked at the clue, and I had no idea. And I said to Janine, what is this? And she instantly, just so, I learned a new word. I now know what that black stuff is you put on your eyes, ladies. I didn't know before. Anyway, praise the Lord. But, you know, as I said, I think we need to try and learn something new. That's been a sort of a goal of my life. I want to try and learn something new every day. And over the years, I've learned a lot, but there's still a lot more to learn, a lot more that I don't know. And I'm making it a goal that I'm just going to try and learn something every day. See, a lot of people are not so interested really in learning. They just want to sort of tramp on other people and get ahead without learning anything or becoming what God wants them to be. But the one thing that I've learned in my 75 years is that it doesn't really cost all that much to be kind to someone else. And I want to talk to you today about kindness. How many of you remember a singer by the name of Glen Campbell? No relative of mine. But he died last year, I think it was, and he was 81 years old. But he had a song that I remember years ago, and let me just read the words of it to you. The words are these: if you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he's sowed, very good English, from the seeds he's sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. Don't walk around the down and out. Lend a handing hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness, and your light will shine for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. We need to learn about kindness. You know, kindness is something that's important. And unfortunately, most children are not taught kindness and respect today. They need to be taught at home, and if they're not being taught at home, most times they're certainly not being taught at school. But let's read some scripture this morning, and I think it'd be good for us to look at the word, as Naomi was saying there before. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Now, I'm reading this morning from the New King James, Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read a few verses here, then we'll read some verses in Ephesians and Colossians and in 2 Peter, Galatians chapter 5, and it's verse 22 and 23. It says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now these are scriptures that you really should mark in your Bible. You may remember I've told you on many, many occasions that it would do you the world of good to read through the book of Ephesians, which is only six little chapters. But I mean, read it every day, at least every day. Elizabeth does that. She's started doing that now regularly. It's amazing what you find out when you read about that. You find out who you are, what you have, and what you can do. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, it says this: Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind. What does that say? Show kindness. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now let's turn a few pages to the right and go to through Philippians and get into Colossians chapter 3 and find verse 12. Colossians 3:12. It says, Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. All these verses are talking about kindness. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And let me read from verse 5 down to verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. But for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. Here's this word again. And to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Some translations say you will never fall. So there's some scriptures there that we need to meditate and think about. But I was reading, when I prepare a message, I always look for quotes and what other people are saying about the particular subject. And I noticed that Mark Twain said this: Kindness is the language that the deaf can hear and the blind can see. I'm going to say it again. Listen to it. Kindness is the language that the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Now, in a study that was done several years ago of 37 cultures, okay, that's a lot of people, 16,000 subjects, they were asked about what was their most desired trait in their potential spouse. In other words, if they were going to be married, what would be the thing they'd like most to find in their spouse? And the report says that for both sexes, the first preference was kindness. So 16,000 people all said the same thing. There must be something in that. I guess if we went around each one today, you'd say, well, you know, if I had my time over again, I'd do things different. Or if I had my time over again, I would wish my partner had done things different. And one of the things that we're all looking for is kindness. We just want to be treated well. We want to be looked after. We want to be treated fairly and kindly. But, you know, a lot of people want it, but when it comes to doing it, they can't do it for someone else. People find it difficult to be kind to others. People find it hard to show kindness to one another. I read in another survey, listen to this one. This was a large-scale study of school bullies. And Esther will hear this one when she gets... Do you know that Esther listens to the message that I preach on Sunday morning? She listens to it Sunday night as she goes to bed, because we make sure she has a CD and she listens to it. And see, there's been a little girl in her school who's been bullying her a little bit. So, Esther, you're listening to this. In a large-scale study of school bullies recently conducted to learn why they bully other kids, the conclusion that they came to was most do it because they enjoy doing it and it makes them feel superior. They enjoy doing it and it makes them feel superior. Now, to me, that just simply illustrates how cruel and mean and sadistic just raw human nature really is. Mankind, without God, without having the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as we were singing before, just is eager to hurt and think the worst of the other person. You know, if a situation occurs, oh, that's because they did such and such. Let's not think that way. Let's think kindly about other people. Let's change our opinion of people, irrespective of what they're doing or what they have done. Let's think kindly about them. And the Bible gives us a number of great examples. Let me just read several of these to you. I've put them down here. For example, in 2 Samuel 9, there's King David toward Mephibosheth. That's the little boy who was lame in his foot. Everything was restored to him. There's the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, where she built that little room for the prophet Elijah. Ruth and Naomi and Boaz in Ruth chapter 2. The Samaritan and the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. There's Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, whose name means son of encouragement. There's Dorcas, a woman who was well-loved and full of charitable deeds in Acts chapter 9. And, you know, we can go on and mention others. But I want you to remember this morning that no act of kindness, no matter how small it may be, is ever wasted. It's never, ever wasted, because the other person might not recognize it, but God recognizes it. He's watching, and you'll hear me say this as we go through. Turn to Genesis chapter 24 with me this morning if you've got a Bible. I think Cassandra will try and keep up with this, but in Genesis chapter 24, which is a great passage of Scripture, and it's all about Abraham sending Eliezer, his servant, to get a wife for his son Isaac. Now, this week, someone sent me a link to a YouTube thing with Jimmy Swaggart. And most of you know who Jimmy Swaggart is. Good old Jimmy. I've sat at the end of his piano when he's been playing, and you know he's had his problems. But when he was in Melbourne, he came here a number of years ago, back in the 70s, I think it was. And I was on the platform with him, and interesting character, because while he's playing, he doesn't read music. Maybe you didn't know that. The guy who plays the organ, or at that time, the guy who plays the organ, would write out little squiggles and that he could read, but he can't actually read music. But anyway, while he's playing the piano, and he's a wonderful pianist, and he makes those old songs, you just cry when you hear them. But while he's playing the piano, he was busy praying for his cousin, Jerry Lee Lewis. Jerry Lee Lewis and Jimmy Swaggart learned on the same piano. Some of you think, who on earth is Jerry Lee Lewis? Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Anyway, that's a by the way. So anyway, where were we? Oh yeah, we were in, I was telling you that someone sent me this link to this YouTube video. And it's our friend Jimmy Swaggart singing a song called The Camel Train. And it's all about this story. If you get a chance, look it up and listen to it. Very, very good. You'll hear him sing about what I'm going to talk about this morning. So in Genesis chapter 24, let me just read verse 1 to you. Now Abraham was old, was well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Now that's an interesting verse, because it doesn't tell you there, but he was actually 140 years old. He was well advanced. Think about that, 140 years old. And God had blessed him in all things. And so he's got everything he wants, and he's got a son that God has provided for him. That's Isaac, wonderfully. And he calls his servant in verse 2. This is Eliezer, his servant. And in verse 2 he says, "So Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house." Now, the oldest servant would be the steward, if you like, of the house. And it says, he ruled over all that Abraham had. And then he made this statement, "Please put your hand under my thigh." Now, I'll explain that in a moment to you. But Eliezer was in charge of everything that Abraham had. He looked after his money, he looked after his gold, he looked after his staff, he looked after everything. He was in charge of the lot. So he was the one trusted servant, if you like, the senior servant, the oldest servant. And he says, put your hand under my thigh. Verse 3, he goes on, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Now what he's saying here is, I want you to put your hand under my thigh. That's like you or me putting our hand on the Bible and saying, I swear. That's the same principle. That was what they did in those days. If you go to court on any occasion to give a witness, you will have to place your hand on the Bible and raise your hand and say, I swear that I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I've done that many times as a policeman when I was in court. So that's what that is about. It's just a strange custom that they had, that they'd put their hand under the master's thigh, just slide it in under his thigh, and swear. So Abraham says, I want you to get a bride. Verse 3, get a bride, but not a bride from the world, not a bride from the Canaanites. Eliezer had to go where Abraham told him to go. Let's read a little further in this. He says, you shall go to my country. Now, you have to remember that Abraham was called by God from Ur of the Chaldees and said, I want you to go to a country that I'm going to take you to. I want you to leave your father's house. Now, Abraham's father had been an idol worshiper and a stargazer. And so what he's saying is, I want you to go back to where I came from. And it's interesting, when you start to have a little bit of a look at this, you'll see that this wasn't just like around the corner. It's a 500-mile journey by camel. It's a month journey. So he has to go 500 miles. He has to go by camel. And as you read through the story, you'll see, he says, you shall go to my country, verse 4, to my family, take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said, perhaps the woman will not be willing to come and follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? In other words, if she won't come, do I have to come back again, get Isaac, take him? You know the story. Verse 6, but Abram said, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, verse 7, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. So we're down to about verse 8. So here we are, we're being told that Eliezer has to go and get a wife for Isaac. He has to go and find this girl. And being the senior steward or the senior servant, if you like, in Abraham's house, he's wise enough, he has wisdom, and he knows enough about Abraham and his beliefs that he can just pray and believe God. So let's read down to verse 9, I think it is. Verse 9 says, so the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, the master, and swore to him concerning the matter. And then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, and all for all of the master's goods that were in his hand, he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Verse 11. And he made his camels kneel down outside a city by a well, watering at evening time, the time when the women go out to draw water. Now, the custom again was that the well was outside the village or outside the city, and the servant girls would come out at their master's bidding, and they'd bring water back into the home and so forth. So he's waiting by this well, and the camels are kneeling down there. He knew this was the time to come. Remember, it's now a month journey, 500 miles he's traveled, and he's standing by this small town well. Verse 12, and then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Verse 13, behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Verse 14, now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will give you to drink for your camels as well, Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Interesting verses. Interesting way to get a wife, I suppose. And you know, the Bible has a number of ways it suggests that you could get a wife. I'm not going to go into them today, but let me just mention one. One of them, and it, in fact, I have a book out there on the table, and it's called Love That Lasts a Lifetime. It's really our life history. I put in a manual a number of years ago, and I found a copy of it, so it's sitting on the table out there. But one of the things, there's a list of things that how to get a wife, and one of them is go to a party and kidnap a girl and take her home with you. That the Bible actually says that. It doesn't, not in so many words, but that's what it talks about. So I'm not suggesting that. But in Eliezer's case, he's by the well, he's waiting to see these girls coming out, and he prays. And before he has finished praying, Rebecca appears. Here's Rebecca coming to the well, and she's standing there. And listen to this, now we're at verse 12. Behold, here I stand by the well of the waters, and the daughters of the men will come out. Now let it be that the young one, now verse 15. Yet it happened before he had finished speaking, and behold, Rebecca, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now think about this. This is now Abraham's niece. Let's go on, 16. The young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. Verse 18. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly let down her pitcher to her hand and gave him a drink. I think about it, the pitcher isn't that big. You can maybe a couple of gallons. It's not a big something she'd carry on her shoulder. That was the custom. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Now, I don't know if you understand this or not. He has 10 camels. The average camel can drink 40 gallons without any trouble. 10 times 400 gallons on one little pitcher. How many journeys back and forwards from the well? Think about this. Now, you see, there's more to these stories than most times when we just read through them. We just think, oh, yes, she poured a little bit of water. No, no. She had to go back and forwards, back and forwards, back and forwards, back and forwards. Now, the interesting thing that I want you to get a hold of right here is Rebecca was not a servant girl. She was, as I said, she was actually Abraham's niece. And it was acceptable in their culture in those days that relatives could marry and so on. So things are different today to what they used to be back then. But you know, Rebecca had really no idea that Eliezer, the man that she was giving a drink to and she was going to water the camels, that he had the ability to totally change her station in life. She didn't know that this act of kindness would open the door for something so fantastic, such a blessing that it was beyond comprehension. See, in the Old Testament, it was customary to give a stranger a drink of water. It was known as the law of hospitality. And you read in the New Testament where Jesus said, don't wait, you know, to give someone a cup of water in my name and be a blessing to them. So there was a habit back there, or a custom, if you like, back there. And this was to show kindness to strangers, but to water 10 camels for 40 gallons each was probably a half a day project. So she's going to spend the whole morning, but this one act of kindness to a total stranger for her was nothing but a joy. She just did it because she had a heart of kindness. And you know, her action, her kind action there, brought her to the place where she would join the lineage that would bring Christ into the world. See, you never know what your act of kindness is going to do, who it's going to affect. I've written down something here. This is norm. This isn't isn't what I'm reading in the Bible, but this is norm. If you want to get ahead in life, here's my advice. In the workplace today, show up early, stay a little late, work hard, be honest, be a problem solver, and learn to serve if you want to be a success. That's first norm. Okay, you got all of that? See, we live in a world that's very, very unkind, unthankful, and it is possible even to be kind to strangers. I think I've told you this little story before, but this is just something that happened to me. One day, I was in Kohl's supermarket, and I think Elizabeth had gone over to the pharmacy, or she'd either gone to the coffee shop, I can't remember. I go into Kohl's probably most mornings on our way for coffee, and I'll buy a paper. And I'd bought the paper, and I noticed there was a young mother in the queue behind me. And I could see she was a little agitated, and she had two little kids. One was a little, not much more than a little baby, another one 2 or 3 years old. And I could see what she was doing. She was mentally adding up the cost of the things that she had in her trolley, and she didn't have all that much, but she was adding them up, and I could see her mind going, I don't think I'm going to have enough money to pay for these. So I got my paper, and I just stood outside the register, reading the paper, but looking to see what was happening. And when she came up, the girl is counting up, the assistant, she's counting it up, and she was $25 or thereabouts short from what she'd bought. And she says, oh, I'm going to have to put some back. I turned around and I said, don't put anything back. And I had some money in my pocket. I always have $20 or $30 just in my pocket. So I just reached in and gave the girl in Kohl's $25. I said, there, that'll take care of it. And this young mother said, oh, thank you very much. Give me your name. And when my husband gets paid on Friday, I'll come around and pay you. I said, you don't have to pay me anything. Just thank Jesus that I was here, that he had me here for this purpose today to help you. So look after your babies and go to church this Sunday. See, just an act of kindness. I didn't have to do it. I could have walked on and met up with Elizabeth. But God calls us to be kind. We need to be able to help people. Now, this story of Rebecca, it's a wonderful story. In Proverbs 19:17, it gives you this little scripture in the Living Bible. Listen to this. Proverbs 19:17, Living Bible. When you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he pays wonderful interest on your loan. Living Bible. When you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he pays wonderful interest on your loan. See, the key to being successful is just do a little more than is expected, but don't look for people saying, well done, how wonderful you are. Just do it. Rebecca could have looked at these. Do you think camels are pretty? I think they're pretty ugly. And they spit. There's 10 of them now in a line. They're all spitting and smelly, as Elizabeth said. But I mean, here's Rebecca. She could have looked at all of these spitting camels and thought, boy, they're so ugly. This isn't part of my work ethic. I don't normally have to look after all these camels. She could have just ignored all of this. But Eliezer had prayed and he said, Lord, let the girl who gives me the drink, and she says, I will also give your camels, let her be the one. She was being led by the Spirit even though she didn't understand it. And there's sometimes God will get you to do things and you think, why would I want to do that? But out of that ugly situation with the camels, something really beautiful happened for Rebecca. You see, when opportunity knocks, you need to be ready to answer the door. Rebecca didn't think about the effort. She didn't think about the extra time involved. She didn't think about the extra carrying of all the water, so much to feed all these thirsty camels. She already had a work ethic in her mind. She already was a person who was kind. She was already a person who was willing to do more. It wasn't something, she didn't just suddenly say, oh, well, now's the day when I'm going to start and be kind. Now, she'd already established that in her own daily life long before Eliezer ever got to the well. She lived by what I think Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. The Message Bible for that verse says, do it heartily. Do it heartily. In other words, do it willingly. Be kind to someone. Psalm 34 and 15 says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their cries for help. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God's watching for acts of kindness. See, today people are motivated by, here's a word, a phrase you may not understand this, by situational ethics. Do you follow what that means? That means, in other words, they respond because of a situation. People should not be motivated by what the situation demands. They need to be motivated by what the Word says. Well, I'll do this because if I don't, I'll do it because the Word says to do it. God is watching for people who are faithful in the small things. When they're faithful in the small things, he knows he can trust them with the bigger things. Some of you here today, you've been praying, say, oh God, I need $1 million, or I need $1,000, or I need whatever. When you're not faithful with the 10, he won't give you the million. We have to come to that place. You know, I'm not trying to squeeze you to give. That's not the purpose. I'm trying to squeeze you to get you blessed. See, what's coming out when we squeeze? What do you get if you squeeze an orange? Orange juice. So we have to be doing these things, these kind acts with joy, doing them with happiness, doing them honoring God and doing them. And you know, when you begin to live your life that way, that you just want to help and actually go over the top sometimes in helping, you will get an amazing payback. Rebecca had an amazing payback for her acts of kindness. Her life was a kind life. She fed, watered the camels. She did all of those things. And here's a challenge. Let me challenge you. Think about this. I'm going to issue you a challenge this morning. Would you be prepared to make this week, starting today, Let's Be Kind to Others Week? But that might cost me something. Yeah, it might. Will you get in on a Let's Be Kind to Others Week? I mean, before your day is out today. I don't mean just in the time after here when we have a cup of coffee. Before your day is out, you're going to meet somebody who has a need. Let's Be Kind to Others Week. Find somebody who has a need. Fill the need. You know, if you got a mortgage on your home and you want to get it paid off, start paying somebody else's. Pay somebody else's mortgage and, you know, God will see to it that yours gets paid. See, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So there's your challenge. Let's make this a Be Kind to Others Week. Now let me finish up this morning by saying two or three things. If enough of us here in this group this morning started to be kind this week, we could change the street that we live in. We could change the suburb we live in, the atmosphere of the nation could change. But you know where the biggest change will come? In your own heart. Just start to be kind to other people. Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 7 in the New Living Testament, he said, I didn't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. But you know, sometimes because we just cut off on being kind and we think down of people rather than wanting to be a blessing and help them. One last thing I just want to mention from Genesis 24 and verse 58. Rebekah took Eliezer home to meet her family, and they wanted her to wait for another 10 days. This was the custom. And they said, "We'll ask Rebekah," and she said, "I will go." Not going to wait 10 days. I will go. When your door of opportunity opens, don't wait another 10 days. Go. Do you understand what the butterfly effect is? I think I've talked about it on another occasion. That, you know, there's a little butterfly, and there's not. It came from a little grub, and that little butterfly is just fluttering around out there, and you think it's not doing anything, it's just moving on the wind, but actually, the fact that that little butterfly flutters its wings, it causes a reaction, and that can go right around the world. You need to read up on the butterfly effect. Just Google it, it'll come up. Be interesting what you'll find out. So you need to learn to step over your fears, step over your inhibitions, step over the what if, step over, well, I can't, I don't have it, I can't do this. Step over all those things and start to be kind. You could be kind to Cassandra today, saying it's her birthday. Do you know what I'm trying to get to you today? We could change our families, our lives. We could change our community by just being kind. That's it. It's that simple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Kibaro stububu suburo bandidi mishibuba brabadidi bishibububu subarakata. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. And Father, we ask you that you'd speak to our individual hearts. Father, that we could perhaps be like Rebekah and be willing to be kind. That we could be willing to help someone else. We'd be willing to give a little more, to go beyond what we've done previously. Father, we ask you to help us to be what you want us to be, so that we can demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in kindness to others. And we pray it in Jesus' name and give you all of the glory. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, Russell. Come and finish off for us.